Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio and I am not coming to you from the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia. We are on the road and I will let you try to figure out by the tone of my voice where I'm coming to you from today. But I'm excited to be back with you. I've missed hanging out with you guys. It's been a blur of a summer the last few weeks, a couple of different continents and a lot of amazing opportunities hanging out with some new friends, some old friends, and seeing God do incredible things. And what you hear in my voice today is the sound of jet lag. I have just come in from Australia and that was an amazing trip. And being in Australia is always amazing. Getting from Australia and to Australia is something I still haven't figured out. I think I've mentioned that before on the podcast, but you know, you go to Australia and you lose a day. So you leave, we left LA on Saturday night, a couple Saturdays ago. Left about, I don't know, 11 o'clock on a Saturday night from LAX, and you land in Sydney, Australia at 6 o'clock in the morning, not on Sunday morning, of course, on Monday morning. So Sunday's gone. Just the whole day is just gone. You know, you don't really know what happened to Sunday, but Sunday vanished, which is just a really interesting and kind of bizarre thought. But then you come home, kind of works the other way around, so you kind of get the payback. And coming back, you leave on a Saturday morning at 9:30, which we did, and that's amazing. And you get home after a layover at LAX and a flight from LA to Atlanta and all that flying, and it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the same Saturday you left on at 9:30 in the morning. So I haven't figured any of that out yet, but it makes for a real mind-boggling journey, and your body isn't really sure what's going on. But that's beside the point. Coming from Australia, it's kind of interesting. But I came in through Atlanta quickly, and now Delta has safely delivered me to my new destination. And the new destination is, here comes the drum roll, from the most beautiful collision of land and sea in the world. No offense to Cape Town. I think you guys are neck and neck, but Sydney, Australia is absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous place. And now my friends at Delta have safely delivered me to, I would say, the next best collision of land and sea in the world. America's finest, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you today on the Passion Podcast from Daytona Beach, Florida. That is right, Daytona Beach, Florida. When you land here, literally, if you've never flown into Daytona Beach, Florida, you land right over the granddaddy of all NASCAR tracks, where the Daytona 500 and the birthplace of NASCAR happens. So you get the DNA of Daytona Beach right before you land at the airport. And you know you've come to a great place. And man, I've done a week in Gatlinburg and now a week in Daytona. So I think I've done my part to support Redneck America fully and wholly this summer. And I am excited about being here. But I'm here for a week of student life camp. I'm going to be here with 7,000 middle school and high school kids this week, trying to inspire them to what it really means to live for the glory of God, to look for the stuff that's unseen, and to live in the kingdom that is unshakable. And so it's going to be a great week, but I just want to bring you guys along for the ride, if that's okay. I'm not sure if anybody still remembers youth camp days. It's quite a treat. It's just 5 days of low sleep, lots of activity, not great food, incredible times with God. And if you don't remember those days, I want to walk you through what it's like. And this is not your traditional camp, okay? And I apologize for the Redneck America remark earlier if that offended anybody. I've met some wonderful people who love Gatlinburg and who live there. And I know people that live in Panama City Beach, Florida, and people from around this area in Daytona Beach, Florida. But they would probably admit that if you drive down the main drag at Daytona Beach or Gatlinburg or any of these other lovely places, you're probably not thinking the same thing you're thinking when you're driving down Bondi Beach in Sydney or around the Singular Key or Circular Key or Darling Harbor in downtown Sydney. You're not thinking the same things, I promise. Just a few less airbrush t-shirt, NASCAR wood carving, body piercing tattoo parlors. Those two places, not, you know, there are a few places there, I'm sure, but anyway, I take the redneck comment back. But I'm excited to be here. It's not your traditional camp. There is a place called the Ocean Center that they built in Daytona Beach, Florida. It's right across the street from the beach. And I'll tell you an interesting story about that before the podcast is over if you don't know about it already. But it's kind of a cool fulfillment of the story of God in my life and in the life of passion, even just coming to this place today. But there's a big new convention center here. It has a big giant, kind of like basketball-sized arena in it. And this camp is just wall-to-wall students, and they're staying in every hotel and I guess a bunch of the motels, and there are quite a few of those here up and down Daytona Beach. And they come, you know, they charter down from their hotel a couple of miles on bus for the sessions in the morning. They go back, and I don't know what goes on in the afternoon. I guess it's just hangout time with the churches, and they're doing different kinds of things. And then they load back up, all charter back down here. Some of them walk, some of them come on buses, but just thousands of kids out on the streets coming to and from these deals. And the sessions are just incredible. Chris Tomlin's here with me this week, and we've done this particular week. I think this is our third time here at Daytona, and we'll be back here this same week next year because I love students, and I love being a part of what God's doing. I love camp. And I never want to go through a life without it if it's a possibility, because being here with these students is kind of like the epicenter of the church to me. It's kind of the epicenter of what the future and the kingdom are really all about. And I always say this, but if you can't communicate to 14, 15, 16-year-olds about the glory of God, then, you know, you probably can't communicate to anybody about it. And so I love being here. I love their faces, their excitement, their enthusiasm, and it's going to be an incredible week. And I just want to bring you along for the journey, all 300 of you. In fact, I met quite a few of our podcast listeners. When I say quite a few, obviously I don't mean, you know, like quite a few. I mean, out of the 300 of us, I met, oh, maybe we're up to 500, but I met two or three of you down in Sydney, and I'm sure you guys will be excited about hanging out on the week in Daytona Beach, Florida. So Google it, get a map, figure out where I am. Just pull up Daytona Beach Shores on your computer, see if you can get some photos and get a sense of the vibe here so you'll know what's going on. Pull up the Ocean Center on your computer and check it out. And I'm going to be back and forth a few times over the next couple of days just kind of giving you highlights of what's going on. So welcome back to the Passion Podcast. I'm incredibly excited that you're here. Hope your summer is going amazing wherever you are, whatever beautiful beaches you've gotten to this summer or winter, as the case as it is in Sydney right now. But I'm excited to be with you guys and looking forward to an unbelievable week here in Daytona Beach, Florida. Redneck or no redneck, I really believe that I have come here to serve a great God, a supernatural God who can do anything. And my expectation and my hope for what God is going to do this week is really, really high. And so come along the journey. In fact, why don't you just pray with me right now for this week? You're like, Louie, hello, man, I'm listening to the podcast. The week's over, dude. You are gone. Camp is done. Everybody is back home. I know, but God is not confined to time or space. And so our prayers, I don't think, are confined to sequential time or space either. And so why don't you just whisper a prayer while we take this first break? Ask God to do something powerful in the lives of these students and their leaders that are here that would really shake their lives, and as a result of that would shake the world, and that people would hear about a kingdom that is never going to end. So thanks for coming along. I'll be back with you in a little bit in the next installment on beautiful beaches with Louie Giglio at Student Life Camp, Daytona Beach, Florida. It's the middle of July, people, and it's going to be amazing. Be back soon. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Daytona Beach, Florida. And man, I wish you guys were here. I have a feeling this is going to be an incredible week. I'm in my car, my rental car, my ninth rental car of the summer, and I'm headed back down the beach to our hotel after the opening night session. And wow, is all I can tell you. These students have come with anticipation, and I can tell they must have great leaders with them here this week, because you can just see it on their faces. And we really covered some ground tonight. You know, camp has a rhythm, most of you know that. And you know, the first night everybody's exhausted, they've been cooped up in a church bus van, converted something or another that used to be a, you know, shuttle bus at the airport, and they've been on the road. These people have come from Pennsylvania, from Indiana, from, you know, Mississippi, from all over Florida, Virginia. And you get here, you get checked in, the whole thing, you finally find the convention center, your group gets in, you got 60 of you, so you're trying to figure out how to get a place to sit, and place is jammed out. There are people like way back in the back and up on the sides and behind the screens on the front. Place is absolutely packed out. It's a beautiful, incredible sight to see. And, you know, people are kind of like, all right, we're here, let's start adjusting. But man, tonight, I would say, if you know, if we're trying to adjust and readjust and recalibrate our minds, like, from maybe like a 4 up to like a 9, I'd say we covered about up to about a 6.5 tonight, or a 7. I mean, we really are clicking with God. And doing these talks the next couple of days on the presence of God, which is what I've really been living in this summer. And I'm just kind of becoming more and more overwhelmed with the opportunity that we have to know God. Hey, and I know that sounds incredibly simplistic, but I mean, has there been any moment today where you've just been blown away by the thought that you know God, that you know God and God knows you, that you have a communication stream going on with the commuter, with the maker of the universe, the creator of everything? He knows you and you know him. And it's crazy. And to think that we can be in his presence is a phenomenal thing as well. And so just that thought is beautiful and powerful and amazing. And in a room like tonight with 7,000 people, all the focus is up on the stage. Everybody's looking at the stage. Everybody's taking pictures of the stage. Everybody's all, you know, about what's happening down there at the front and up there on the stage. And who cares? Who gives a rip what's happening down there or up there? God is in the place. God is present. God's presence is present. And he is in the place and with us. And it doesn't matter what seat you're sitting in, what section you're sitting in, God is there. And that's just extraordinarily revolutionary in thought. And I think sometimes we miss the beauty of that and the power of that. And so tonight I ended up leaving the stage and walking all the way up across the arena, a few places, and then back up to the top corner. I think it was section 208. I'm guessing 100 plus yards away from the front of the stage at section 208, and walking right up there with the kids and doing part of my talk up there, and then inviting Chris to come up there, at which point everybody almost passed out, and just hanging out up there and saying, okay, if everybody's all concerned about what's going on the stage, and you know, we're sitting way back here in the back, okay, great, all the people that are up at the stage now that are all leaning up on the bicycle rack, you know, trying to get as close to the stage as they can, the little barrier that's up there, well, they're the farthest people away now. Chris is out there with me, up in the top, up in the corner, up in 208, with his microphone and his guitar, and we're just going to lead the night from up there. And we're saying to these kids while we're up there, hey, there's Chris Tomlin. And I mean, cameras are going off left and right. People are literally about to pass out because Chris Tomlin is standing like 4 feet from them. And Chris and I are saying, yeah, that's interesting, but how about this? How about the fact that the God of the universe is in this room, and he's as close as you can imagine to every seat in this place right now? And that our hope in these sessions and in this week is not to come in the room and go, okay, I need to focus on up there and down there. But the focus of this week is, I want to come in this room and I want to be aware that God is here. I want to look with the eyes of faith. I want to see the unseen in the midst of the seen. And I want to dial into the reality that Jesus Christ, Son of God, is right here in front of me. He's right here, right now. And Chris just began to lead worship, and we went to a throwback, you know, a song I haven't sung in a while, but perfect in the moment at the end of that. We sang "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." And I don't know if you remember that song or know that song, but it's just "Open the Eyes of My Heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up and shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy." And that's our prayer for this week. Our prayer for this camp is that people won't leave here going, "I saw some people on a stage," or "I saw something happening down front." But people will leave here going, "God, open not these two eyes in my head, but this heart of mine to see Jesus and to see him." I think it's going to be an incredible week. I'll be back. I'm going to try to get back to my text tomorrow night. I was going to really dive into Exodus 32, 33, and 34 tonight, talking about the presence of God. And we ended up kind of going a little bit different way and trying to show people what that's about. So tomorrow night, I'm looking forward to jumping back into the text, but I'll pick back up with you tomorrow. I just remembered there's a Krispy Kreme Donuts in Daytona Beach, Florida. And so I've made a right turn and gone over the bridge, and I see it in my sights right now, and the hot donut sign is on right now. So I'm going to pull into Krispy Kreme and indulge. It's been a long summer. I've been on, you know, a long journey serving God. So I'm going to use that as my rationalization right now to dive headlong into some Krispy Kreme donuts. So think about that thought, and I'll be back with you a little bit later on in the week from Daytona Beach, Florida, on the Passion Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'll be back soon. Bye. Well, welcome back to the Passion Podcast. I know you haven't been anywhere. I say welcome back as if you've gone somewhere, but you're still right there, and only like 1 second went by since we were together last time. But a lot went by in my lifetime. I am a full, 36 hours into one of the most loveliest resort locations anywhere on the planet. I invite all of you guys who've never been to America, when you do come to the United States, forget about Disney World, California, New York City, San Francisco. You don't need any of that business. You just book your vacation to Daytona Beach, Florida. There is a host of low-cost, some might say budget, hotels and motels here. I'm sure you could find something incredibly reasonable. And you can drive on the beach here. I mean, this is a very interesting concept. But, you know, when I go to the beach, I'm thinking resort, peaceful, secluded, tropical breeze, some sunshine, a couple of Chase lounges, maybe an umbrella for the afternoon, a couple of glasses of lemonade. I'm thinking about the ocean and the sound. No, Daytona Beach, Florida. No, ladies and gentlemen, there are cars going up and down the beach while you are on the beach. It's a quite an interesting dynamic. I guess that's a throwback to the NASCAR days when, just so you'll know, in the very beginning days of NASCAR, and a lot of you don't know what NASCAR is, and that's quite all right. But in the early days, I think, and someone can do the research on Wikipedia and I think bear this out, but in the earliest days, I think half of the NASCAR race actually went down the beach. So some of it went down the beach and some of it came around onto a track. So there was like this, you know, process going on of people coming off the beach and then onto the track, and that was kind of the way that everything worked here. And so it's pretty amazing when you think about that. That's kind of the history of Daytona, and so maybe that's why they still let people drive on the beach here. I don't really know, but nonetheless, book your vacation. Come to Daytona Beach, Florida. Be blown away by our fantastic nation that we have given birth to here in America. I know Daytona Beach, Florida, people are emailing and you're writing in right now. Save your emails. Please, no, I'm only kidding. I'm here. Okay, that's the bottom line. So somebody's going to go, "Man, you're running down Daytona Beach, Florida." I'm like, no, I am in Daytona Beach, Florida. I have chosen to come here and spend a week of my life. Let me tell you something crazy about Section 208, okay? by the way, I met a girl the first night when I went out. I didn't tell you, named Grace. Well, I won't tell you her last name because I've already mentioned her and her last name at the camp several times now, and we pulled her Facebook page up on the entire screen live and kind of looked around on it for all the kids. And she was cool with that, which is a great test of kind of where you are in your walk with God, is your willingness to say, yeah, just put my Facebook page up there and click around, look on stuff, see what you want to see. But so I've included her and those folks in 208. I've been kind of just going back to them every session now, and you guys up in 208 doing okay. It's become sort of a symbol for the presence of God, section 208. So I want to share that, pass that along with you or to you. You haven't been at camp with us this week. You can tell my mind's a little jumbled up from all the journey. But if you're ever at a place in life and you feel this way, you feel like I'm sitting up in section 208 right now. And that's just going to be our little, you know, sort of parallel for I am in the backside of nowhere. I'm out of the loop. I'm not anywhere where I thought I was going to be. I can't see the stage. I can't hear the stage. I can't see what's going on. I am in the last seat. I came in last. I got here last. I'm up here in the nosebleed section of life. That's what I'm talking about. That's section 208. And I just want you to remember that, A, you never know when somebody's going to just come walking right up into section 208. And it doesn't really matter if they do or not, because the Son of God is in section 208 right now. And you may be in the nosebleed section, but God is in the nosebleed section. You may be in the top row, but God is in the top row. And the hope of our lives is not getting in the front row. That is not the hope of our lives. Now, I'm like anybody else. I'm a junkie for VIP tickets. I like getting backstage passes. I like getting access to places nobody else can get access to. We talked about NASCAR. I loved going to NASCAR at Talladega last year. Chris and I doing chapel there. And, I mean, we're literally standing out on the track. You know, there's like a start-finish line with little where the green flag's going to be when they start, the checker flag when they finish, and that line goes all the way up the track. About 5 minutes before the race started, I'm standing in the middle of the track on the start-finish line. There are about 250,000 people at Talladega Motor Speedway, and I like that. I like getting access. But it's not about, life ultimately is not about getting on the front row. It's not about getting VIP access to somewhere where you want to get to. It's about opening the eyes of your heart. It's about being able to see and understand that Jesus Christ is in you. A, that's the miracle of Christ in you, the hope of glory, but that he is right there in 208 right now. That's the miracle. So anyway, last night I'm up in 208, and I've been talking about how the presence of God changes our posture. And I'll tell you a little bit about Exodus 33 and a few things from that, maybe in our next little segment on here. Last night was incredible, by the way. But I've been saying, you know, everybody, not everybody, but most people know how to stand up at the right moment in a service, you know. Most people even know how to lift their hands at the right moment in a service. I mean, if somebody's singing Mighty to Save, you don't typically lift your hands up during the guitar solo at the beginning of Mighty to Save. That's not normally where people lift their hands. If you've ever just been in a room, you know that da na 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 na. That's normally not a lot of hand raising going on right there, because everybody knows you don't raise your hands right there. And you don't typically raise your hands when it says everybody needs compassion, love that's never failing. But when it gets to the chorus, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. By the way, I'm pulling in past the little yellow little dealy bobs with my VIP access. I just wanted you to know, into the side parking at the Ocean Center here. And I've pulled up as close as I can to the back doors around to the side of this place, which is really nice. I'm happy about that this morning. Just to let you know. And by the way, there are some amazing people here at the Ocean Center. They're all about 65, and they have probably, and I'm not kidding you, as good of or the best security at this venue as any venue we've been in. And trust me, we've been in just about every venue you can be in America. But these guys are on it. I mean, I feel really good about the fact that, you know, when we're up there speaking, our phones and our stuff and our backpacks and computers or whatever are back in this little room down around behind the stage. I mean, these people are on it. You don't get in here unless you're supposed to be in here. But they're not that, like, you know, over the top. I have a radio and a flashlight, and I'm running the free world kind of security. They're really like, oh, it's you. I don't know your name, but I've recognized you. You come here every day. I think you're up there on the stage speaking to the kids. And, hey, let me help you find a parking place. And, oh, yeah, we'll move that. Just park there. It's cool. Don't worry. Not that you can't park there. You can't park over there. You got to move that over there, which is what you get most of the time. Incredibly nice people here. Very nice security, but very nice people. And I'm in my parking place now, so I'm going to finish up real quick before I run in. But anyway, so I'm up in 208, I think is where I was. And I've been teaching people about presence. So, you know, everybody knows, okay, here comes Money to Save chorus. All the hands in the room go up, or at least, you know, the hands that go up are going up in the room. Savior, you know, forever, author of salvation, people are with it. But here's how I know and sense more that people are dialing into the presence of God. It's not when all the hands swell up on the chorus. And if you'll notice, a lot of them kind of swell back down on the verse. And then in the transition between the songs, not too many hands at all in the room. In fact, here, first time I was looking, 7,000 people, no hands up between the songs. Just in the songs and mostly in the choruses of the songs. And I'm like, you know, that to me is it's cool, but it's more a sign of people that are seeing the scene and hearing the scene, and less a sign that people are seeing the unseen and are sensing 208, you know, Jesus is here, right now. And when that happens, hands go up all the time. I mean, hands go up during the preaching. I mean, how many times at your church has someone just been opening the Word of God and somebody just sitting there down the row from you just with their hand up, just under the Word of God, under the truth of God, under the revelation of God, just a hand raised up to heaven? And so I've been saying to the kids here, you know, when you see somebody's hands up like between the songs or during a prayer, and for some of you this is so elementary, but for most people in this country it's not. Or while someone's preaching, or, you know, just in a moment, someone's just got their hand up. You're like, yeah, presence of God has come. They're getting the presence of God. They're sensing the presence of God because they're responding to Him right now. And it's not even the right time for everybody in the room to be doing that. That's just a beautiful, small indication that people are seeing the unseen kingdom and seeing the King of the unseen kingdom right there. So I'm up in 208 and I'm kind of talking toward the end, and we're not even singing yet. Chris is not even leading us yet, and there's a guy, and I can't see him because it's shadowy and dark up there. I mean, we're up in the boonies, and there's not good light. In fact, they can't get a spotlight on me. I'm kind of standing up there and halfway in the dark, and Chris is up there halfway in the dark. We hadn't told anybody ahead of time, of course, we're going up there, so, and it's kind of, you know, hard to see up there, and but there's a guy kind of up. I'm like three rows from the top, a little few rows up from where I'm standing in the aisle. And just while I'm talking about the presence of God and the nearness of God, he's got his hand up, just extended up to God. And I said, what I'm talking about is like that guy right there. And his eyes are closed, and he's just connecting with God, even while I'm talking. He doesn't know I'm pointing at him or talking about him. And I said, it's like that guy right there. That guy is getting the presence of God right now. You can tell by his posture. And posture can be deceiving, but I could sense with this guy, he was connecting with God. Way up in the top, three rows from the top, up in 208, up in Never Never Land, God was there, something was happening, it didn't matter what was going on the stage. Well, as it turns out, that's the guy I'm supposed to meet here this week. Are you following me? The guy that came from Louisiana? Okay, so I walk out in the crowd of all these people in this arena, and I walk up into the middle of the section in the back top corner where the kids are sitting from Louisiana that I want to meet. And the one guy that I point out in the entire building of 7,000 people is the guy who emailed our office and said, I really hope I get a chance to say hey to Louis this week and get a chance to encourage him face to face. This guy, I don't know him super well. I just know of them and know who they are, appreciate their lives so much. But it wasn't like I'm walking up there looking for the guy and he's in the shadows and I don't even know it's him. Until I get a message back through our office, as it would happen. I'm in Daytona Beach, Florida, but the news travels through our office in Atlanta down here to me. This guy wants to connect with you. I'm like, great, let's connect. Let's work it out. I don't know how to get a hold of him, so that goes back through my office. Then it comes back through our office. Oh, by the way, he's the guy that you walked up into the middle of their group last night and pointed to and said, that guy, he's connecting with God. Okay, that is a God story. And if he doesn't know that God was in 208, I don't know how he ever is. That's incredible. The morning is rolling. I'm a little bit late jumping in there. They're going to do some goofy fun stuff, have a youth minister of the day, show some interesting videos. I think sing happy birthday to some kids. Tomlin's going to get up there and just lift things off for the day. And I'm going to share a little bit as well. So I'll be back and let you know how the morning went. And hopefully I'll remember to give you the keys to knowing you're in the presence of God from this talk we did last night, Exodus 33. But I'll be back soon. I know you're not going anywhere. I'm going somewhere. So I'm going to say welcome back to me next time. And you just stay right there. And in like 2 seconds, I'll be back, even though it'll be like a whole lot later. Okay, bye. Well, welcome back. And I am going to let you hear firsthand what's going on here, sort of a la the world tour. I took the little recorder up on stage this morning because some of you don't really believe there's 7,000 kids at this camp. So this is what happened as we were on stage together this morning. Check it out. So anyway, we just met Josh. Happy birthday, Josh. Josh is the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church just across the corner here from the Ocean Center. I'll tell you guys a little bit about that later after the session's over. But just want to let you know that because they're trying to see God raise their church kind of up out of the rubble. And we're hoping people who are here in this building and some of you guys listening to the podcast, you can just Google Calvary Baptist Church, Daytona Beach, Florida, and just pray for them and for their vision for what God's going to do with this little bitty group of people. They have 3 students here combined with North Peninsula Baptist Church. They got like 6 kids here at camp. It's pretty phenomenal. And God's going to do something amazing. 7,000 people just prayed in faith for them, at least maybe not 7,000, but 6,920. So 80 kids over there I was looking at that weren't praying, but most everybody was praying. But I've been telling you guys that there's like this big arena full of people and they're going crazy and they love God and they have vision and really getting a hold of the presence of God. And I know some of you are out there in Australia or Europe or Asia or wherever you're listening from, Iowa, and you're like, I don't know if there's, I've never heard of that many people at camp. So I'd just like you to hear the voices of 7,000 crazy people who love God. I told you. I got to finish this session. We have something very important to do and very little time to do it in, so I'll be back soon. Well, I'm back in the car. It is blazing hot. Sunshine, about 100% humidity, and going to head to Aunt Catfish to get a little lunch with Mr. Tomlin. So that's the day today. The morning was fantastic today. You heard me mention it on stage just then, and man, those kids were making some noise, were they not? You heard me mention the church, Calvary Baptist Church, and just kind of wanted to fill you in on that story. I got a letter from a couple of the kids and from the wife of the youth pastor yesterday, and basically what they were saying is a hurricane had pretty much wiped their church out in 2004. I mean, that's like 5 years ago. And the church, I think, wasn't doing all that well. The church is like literally, you know, I mean, you walk out of the convention center we're meeting in and you walk 2 minutes and you're at this church. And it's kind of in an old neighborhood, kind of a semi-depressed area, not the greatest part of town. And just got a few, you know, elderly people left at the church, and 3 kids they brought, and the whole story. Well, she writes me this letter, and some of the kids in the group write me these letters yesterday saying it's our pastor's 27th birthday today, and if you could just walk down to the church and say hi to us, hang out this afternoon, that would be amazing. And it just really went in my heart, because yesterday morning, I spent the whole morning session yesterday talking about the church. You know, I'm a pastor of a church now, and so everything's coming through that that filter, and it's not that I didn't have that filter before, but it's really strong now. And I was just really challenging the students to see themselves as a part of God's revolutionary agent in their churches, not to be critical, negative complainers, but to be a part of a positive, spirit-filled awakening in their own churches. The day before, we prayed for parents, and we just prayed for deliverance over moms and dads. It would have just blown you away to see these kids just hands lifted up all over this room, praying for deliverance in their own parents' lives. Parents that need jobs, parents that are addicted to things, parents that are clueless spiritually, parents that are out living and doing insane things with their lives right now, who need to wake up and come back to God. Families that are falling apart, and man, these kids. And I just was challenging them to say, man, you know, you're not just a bystander in your house, but you're a part of God's revolutionary plan to bring spiritual awakening to your family. And you need to be believing that for your parents and praying for them. So then this next day, yesterday, we same idea for the church. You're not just bystanders in the church, you know, stuck over in the youth room, but you're part of God's plan to bring spiritual awakening to this church. You need to be praying for your pastor, encouraging your leaders. You need to be seeking God for what He has for your church. And at the end of that, we all were just praying. They were just laying their hands on their youth leaders all over the room. It was incredible. And then Chris led us in God of this City, and we were just singing it over our towns, over our churches, over our cities. And so in the letter that this pastor's wife wrote to me, she just said, man, it was such an encouragement to us yesterday just to hang on, this little church of 40 people, three kids. And we were just singing God of this City over Daytona Beach, Florida, and believing God for that. And so this morning, I read her letter. She's saying, hey, can you come down and say hi to us? And I said, no, Sarah, I can't make it down there this afternoon, but I can find you. And they were all the way up in the top, I think at 2:03 this morning. So up Chris and I went, and the whole room just stretched out their hands toward these guys. They brought three kids from their church, three kids from another church, and we just prayed with everything we had that God's going to raise this church up. And so I just say that. I don't know how the Spirit wants to lead, but I knew this morning when I woke up that they need financial resources, they need encouragement, they need some hands to come and help them put their church back together, they need prayer, and they need some wise people, I think, to come along their church. I just felt like God was telling me they need a wise couple of couples to come and join the church and say, you know what, this is not the most happening church on the planet. This church is not going to make the, you know, fastest growing churches in America list. Nobody's writing any books about this church, but we want to come and plant our lives here and help this young pastor, he's 27, Josh, and his wife Sarah lead this church. And maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe God doesn't have a 100-year future for the church. Maybe the church has served its day. I don't know what God's doing, but I know these guys have faith and they believe, and I believe God's going to honor that, and I want you to be a part of it. Calvary Baptist Church, Daytona Beach, Florida. If nothing else, pray for them. If nothing else, just go Google them right now. Get the address. Just write them a note. Write them a card. It would mean so much to them. And how cool would it be if the next time I see these guys, they're like, you are not going to believe this. Week after week after week, there was something in our mailbox. Notes of encouragement. People sending us gifts, people helping us do what we're doing here. And I don't know, you let God lead you in that, not me. But that was what this morning was about, before we had the loud shout and we had the Calvary Baptist kind of thing. That was what that was all about. I think that's what camp's about. Camp is not about coming and showing up with your seven talks. It's not coming and showing up with your, okay, here's what I'm going to share for the week. Camp's about coming and going, okay, Lord, you're here. What do you want to do here? Let's be the body of Christ, and let's live and move as the body of Christ here right now. And part of that for us was Calvary Baptist Church today. So I don't know if you hear that sound, but I have no idea why that ring is on my phone. But it's Chris Tomlin. He left a little ahead of me. He's probably wanting to know where I am, because we're going to Aunt Catfish. And it's going to be amazing. That's a whole nother story that I don't have time to tell you. But I'll be back to help wrap up the week. Our last night is tonight. And I told somebody this morning, it's not often that I'm at an event where I just really, really wish there were two or three more days. I have that much more in my heart that I want to share this week, but I only get one more shot at it, and it's going to be a great night tonight. So thanks for hanging in there with us, by the way. Just cruising down US 1. You can take it all the way from Key West to the top of Maine, I think, on the east coast of the United States of America. I am passing a tattoo place as we speak. No kidding. They are everywhere here. Daytona Beach, Florida. It's been amazing. Thanks for being with us. I'll be back for a little wrap-up after the last night of camp, and we'll be heading back to ATL GA. So talk to you soon. Bye. One. Well, welcome back to the Passion Podcast, our last installment on our beautiful beaches podcast from Daytona Beach, Florida. And it's all said and done, except for the living out of whatever it is that the Holy Spirit invested in, deposited in our hearts this week. And I think that's an unbelievable amount. So I think that greater things are still to come for all of us who've been a part of this week. And it's been incredible. Everything's being torn down and just about to roll out. It's about 11 p.m. on Thursday night. And it's had a phenomenal night tonight. We tried desperately to stay away from end of camp euphoria. That just really doesn't help anybody all that much, really. And we tried to talk about the real stuff. We dug into 2 Corinthians 3, talking about how when Christ is there, that veil is taken away. And you see the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And there is where the freedom and the liberty are. And it was a really, really powerful time. I was going to tell you, just catching up really fast about the Exodus 33 thing, but we've just really been living in that a lot this summer. And definitely this week, talking about some of the evidence of the presence of God, not just with us, but in us. And that whole story about where Moses met in the tent and the cloud came down. And when the people saw it, all of Israel camped. Everyone came and stood at the door and the entrance to their tent. And they stood and worshiped the Lord. And we talked about how when the presence of God is seen and known, that it changes our posture. And you see that in worship. We talked about how when the presence of God is seen and known, it changes our focus. And just talked a little bit about how you stop taking pictures of the people that are standing on the stage and you start actually turning your eyes, the eyes of your heart, toward the Son of God who's standing right in front of you. We talked about how when the presence of God comes and is seen and known, it becomes a growing expectation, sort of like a drug. And it's like Moses saying, if you don't go with us, don't lead us up from here, for how else are the people going to know that we are your people? What's going to distinguish us from all the other people on the earth? And that's the question that we ought to be asking all the time about our lives, our youth groups, our college groups, our churches. What is it that sets us apart from all the other groups, all the other organizations, all the other people doing life? And we know it's that supernatural presence of God in us and with us. And then the fourth thing we talked about this week was just that the presence of God changes us, and it changed Moses, and that was the law. If you want to just read that in context, read 2 Corinthians 3. But the law, you know, the ministry that brought death made Moses' face light up with the glory of God. So 2 Corinthians 3 says, so how much more would the ministry that brings life cause our faces to light up with the glory of God? And so we talked about how the presence of God brings change. And so sometimes singing the worship songs doesn't bring change. Sometimes being in a room and being hyped up doesn't bring change. Sometimes going to the event doesn't change anything. But you know you've been in the presence of God and seen and glimpsed the face of God when change happens in your life, when things transform, when things are broken and put back together again, where rights are wronged, where direction is altered. And if there is no change, there is no worship. Without change, there was not worship. Because worship is seeing God. And when you see God, things change. Your face changes. Your life changes. Your countenance changes. And then tonight we just added that the presence of God is a progressive thing. It's from glory to glory, from encounter to encounter, from day to day. You keep moving on. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced some great glimpses of glory in my life. But the scripture says it's ever-increasing glory. And that means every time we see Christ, there's the possibility of something fresh, something new, something beautiful, something powerful to change our lives. And I want to tell you about this one thing tonight. Man, right before I talked, Chris was going to do I Will Rise. And, you know, it's not probably the best moment in life to do I Will Rise at the last night of camp right before the talk. But he really felt like that's the song that went there. And I was like, man, let's just go for it. And I mean, the song, there's never been a moment that I've seen that song sung that the Spirit of God just blew up inside of people like tonight. I mean, these kids were clapping during the first verse of I Will Rise. I mean, at least, you know, a with it group of people will stand up on the bridge. But these people were clapping during the first verse of the song. And I looked up way across the room. I could just see the, you know, the kind of the lights were moving around, and every now and then they would light up different parts of the room. And I could see this guy holding this girl standing next to him with his arm around her, and it looked like he was just consoling her. And, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I put two and two together, and I figured that she had probably lost someone in her life recently, and this song was really ministering to her, and he was trying to encourage her. And so I just came out at the end of it, and I just, while Chris and the guys kept playing, I just said, I just want us to be the body of Christ right now. I want us just to come around people who've experienced the grave. And eventually I just asked, I said, if you're here, you know, and you've lost a mother or father in the last 6 months, would you just raise your hand? I mean, his hands went up all over the room. And right in front of me, like the two people back behind the little barricade thing, this girl looking right back up at me, maybe 16 years old, 17, I don't know, 15. She's looking right up at me and raises her hand. And man, it just breaks my heart. I cannot compose myself. And I just have to walk down the other end of the stage and take a deep breath. And so I said, we're going to come around you, and we're just going to remember that life moves on, but the pain stays, and we're just going to come stand around you tonight and be the body of Christ to you tonight. And I said, anybody that's here that's lost a brother or sister in the last 6 months, and hands went up all over the building. And I walked back down, and the same girl who had lost her mother or father had lost a brother or sister, and that was it for me. And I just realized again how broken we are, how wounded we are. And sometimes camp's not about, hey, let's all go change the world. Sometimes it's about God cares about you. He loves you. He knows you right where you are. And he wants to just put his arms around you and hold on to you. And then we had, you know, friends at school, friends in church, grandmoms, granddads. And then I just said, if anybody around you has lifted their hand, I just want you to go and be the church to them. Go and be the body of Christ to them. Go and be encouragement to them. And people just were, it's just an incredible moment. It just was a long moment of just the church being the church, and it was so powerful. And I just want you to pray for that girl tonight. I didn't get a chance to meet her. I don't know her name, don't know her circumstances, but loss is loss and death is death, and it's painful in every instance. But some girl at this camp tonight, somewhere in Daytona Beach tonight, that's lost a brother, a sister, and a mother, a father just recently, and I just want us to pray for her, that she'll know the healing of God and know that the healing of God is going to come in time and make her heart whole again. Thank you guys for being along. That's camp, man. I'm not sure if I told you or not, but we've been challenging these students because Compassion is a partner with Student Life. Student Life's a partner with Compassion International, and we've really been challenging them. And in fact, we left the morning session this morning. I called Chris up, and I said, Chris is going to come lead us in worship, and all the kids ran up to the front of the stage, which I loved. So Chris is going to lead us in worship. Chris came up. The band came up. They just walked right past me, with me, right off the side of the stage, right out through the barricade, right down the whole long length of this arena, out the back door, to the lobby, to the compassion table. And we started picking up child packs and started calling out the names of kids and talking about where they're from. And we just said, hey, kids, Chris is leading you in worship. This is it. This is Chris leading us in worship at the end of the session this morning. Let's do something in Jesus' name to change somebody's life. That is our worship this morning. Well, these kids, check it out, 7,000 of them, and a bunch of them already were sponsoring kids because I asked them at the first of the week. So far, and I think the number is going to be a lot higher, but as of right now, these kids have sponsored 850 children through Compassion International. Filled out the form, given the money, turned it back in. Not packets taken home to think about it. 850, maybe it's closer to 900. They said it was either 850 to 900. That was before the session started tonight. And they only had 1,000 child packets here. Is that not amazing? 850 families changed tonight because of teenagers in Daytona Beach, Florida. And they do an offering, Student Life does, for their Student Life mission efforts around the world. These kids gave $21,000 tonight, and they were still counting that tonight as well. In the Calvary Baptist Church I mentioned this morning, pastor said after the session, people came and they handed him just randomly, I think like $700 right after the session. in a youth minister meeting tonight, a youth pastor came in and said to the camp director, "Hey, this is for Calvary Baptist Church. All my kids wanted to give an offering for their church." And it was, I saw the stack. It was a stack of bills. And so church being the church at camp, man, it's awesome. Daytona Beach, Florida. I love you. I love being here. Tattoo parlors and all. It's just been an amazing week. Thank you guys for being with us. We'll be back sometime soon with a Passion podcast from the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia. But thanks for being with us at Student Life Camp at the beach, the most beautiful beach in the world, Daytona Beach, Florida. I love all you guys around the world and throughout the nation. We'll be back soon. Thanks for being with us and take care. Hey, everybody. We were almost done. Don't you love it when you think it's over and it's not really over? So we're into bonus podcasting now. And I forgot to tell you before I leave is that next week, Six Steps Music is happy to kind of get behind some new music that's coming out. And that's from Fee, who I was with earlier in Gatlinburg this summer. And you guys, I'm sure, are all aware what's going on with them. But they're making a new album. They've made a new album. We're in the process of finishing it up. It's coming out this fall. But going to iTunes on Tuesday of next week, so that's going to be, I want to say around July the 21st, is the song Glory to God, which all I can think about when I think about that song is Johannesburg, South Africa, Passion, Joburg. Wow. Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Student Life a few weeks ago. But it's going to iTunes on Tuesday, so that'd be probably about the time that this little recorder gets home and Jonathan does his magic and a podcast pops up into space. So if you're hearing this sometime around the end of July, check out iTunes, check out Steve Fee, brand new single, Glory to God. Incredible song, and we're excited about it, traveling further and further around the world. So this is the real ending, so there's no more bonus podcasting coming. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.